Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our season finale of Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas, along with Deuce McAllister, with you until 6 o'clock tonight, getting you ready for a continuation, I should say, of a great football weekend that we wish we were a bigger part of. With the college football last night, Notre Dame beats Penn State. And I got to ask you, hello, Deuce, how are you first?
Doing well, sir, in this breaking news environment that we live in.
Gosh, man, the news cycle is spinning like a top. But I know if I don't say it now, I'll forget. I got to ask you, in the Notre Dame-Penn State game, the run by Jeremiah Love from a running back standpoint, one of the best two-yard runs I've ever seen.
And he probably ran, 35, right. 40 yards
His
just to get 2 years.
Two yards.
And that's just pure determination.
Right.
Pure determination, pure will to want to score. And, you know, as a running back, I love it.
I had a feeling on that one.
It's leg drive. It's the sled. It's the heels. It's that forward lean as far as the body is concerned. And you got to reach. Yeah. I want you to strain. And it paid off for him.
So as Deuce talked about, it's the big college last night with Notre Dame beating Penn State. Tonight, Texas and Ohio State. Then, of course, wild card weekend, which is, the NFL wild card weekend, which – kind of seems somewhat simple, but then, of course, what's going on in Los Angeles, and that's part of the breaking news. There are two games, the Chargers and Rams both impacted. The Chargers play in Houston, so they left early. The Rams were supposed to host it. That game's been moved to Monday in Arizona with Minnesota, but they left early. So the Arizona sent planes to go pick up the Rams. And again, man, we've been there. Hearts and prayers to everybody. It ain't like it's over.
No.
That's a problem with the wildfire situation. And I say this, we saw it, right? We were there in July and August. Every day, the same. It was a tinderbox in August. I was like, man. We talk to people like, when was that time it rained? They said April. And I was reading a quote today.
I think 90 days.
Right. University of California wildfire specialist Max Moritz says, we haven't seen substantial rain for hundreds of days.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. In one area I was reading about, it had been 89 days. 89 days since the last time that they had rain.
Yeah.
And so here, you want to know something else that's interesting, Mike? This isn't even the season.
Oh, no, it's usually late fall with the Santa Ana winds. Because normally they get some rain, and by the time they'll get some dousings.
Yeah.
And there's a big cutoff, Northern California versus Southern California. But it's just haven't got it.
So, yeah.
And they don't get it when in the summer. That's normal.
Correct.
And then the Santa Ana winds come off the mountaintops in September, October. You're right.
This is not season. This is something like us having a hurricane in March. And you're like, what? Yeah,
I'm knocking on wood
cover
all bases.
Hopefully, the water is very, very cool and it doesn't happen. But this is like us in New Orleans. Hey, there's a hurricane out in the Gulf, and so it's tracking towards us. And everybody in New Orleans or in our area would be like, what? Those normally hurricane season doesn't start until June. What is there a hurricane in the? But I mean, that's literally what it. Almost is like, then it is tough.
Man.
And I also, from a basketball perspective, I think it was Charlotte and the Lakers. That game got canceled because of the fires out in California.
And it's been, first off, we're going to have Mark Spears on at 4:30 today, senior NBA writer for ESPN and Anscape. Louisiana native, New Orleans native. Also at 5:20, we have Jonathan Stinchcomb. We'll talk a lot about the Saints, of course, and their coaching situation and all the changes going on. It's just been – it feels like if we talked about the news cycle. When you think about it, so week four, and typically the Saints are the team, right? We're the team that gets impacted by weather. So you play Atlanta week four, they're dealing with Hurricane Helene week four, flooding southeast. Saints play the game. Then week six, Hurricane Milton impacts Tampa, so they're impacted. And then, with the situation, prior to the Tampa game, week 18, and the tragedy here in New Orleans, it's good gosh, it has just been. And then the final bit, as we'll close out this, you know, spinning news cycle, Zion Williamson will be suspended for a game for violating team policy. And so they are playing tonight in Philadelphia. And so he played Tuesday, sat out Wednesday. That was a day of rest against Portland.
On the back-to-back.
And I think, you know, I was at that game, and it was, anyway, it was rough. Rough from beginning to end. And so they're in, it's a first of a three-game road swing, Philly, Boston, Chicago. So he sits out tonight, right?
Yeah, he sits out. He'll sit out tonight, and he released a statement as well. And, you know, just knowing that he's got to hold himself to a higher standard. And so I think the team and he agreed that a one-game suspension, you know, is what I don't want to say what he's needed, but that's what they're going with. And I think they play again on Sunday in Boston. And then, you know, I think you got the other road game. And then they're
Chicago, yeah.
And then they have a back-to-back right after that, you know, after Chicago. They're back here in New Orleans, if I believe correct. And, you got to do everything. Even if it seems small, you know, you got to do the little things right. And so the other part of that breaking news is Herb Jones has a torn labrum. And that was announced earlier by the team. Yep. And so he's out indefinitely. And so it's just as soon as this team is starting to get a little bit more healthier, boom. You know, just the avalanche of injuries just strikes again with Trey having the ankle sprain. You get Zion back. They can't play together. You know, and then the next game, you get Herb that ends up banging his shoulder a little bit. And he had already hurt that shoulder earlier this year and can't catch a break.
I don't know if you watched or were there, the Tuesday night game with Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
That was a different energy.
Right.
It's a different team on the court.
Yeah, it's a pure energy deal. And, you know, you couldn't make shots. You couldn't make shots enough to win that game. And, you know, Minnesota's, they're figuring it out. They've got a pretty good squad with Anthony Edwards. But at the same time, the energy was not the same the next day. And even for a team like Philly, who you're playing tonight, you got Maxey, and you know I don't know. Embiid has been hurt.
Embiid.
Yeah, Embiid has been hurt off and on, but you never know what you're going to get with him. And you know they make the big move as far as Paul George in the offseason being able to bring him. And you know I can't say that they're playing lighting it on fire. So it was a game that the Pelicans, you know, I don't want to say should have had, but hopefully you would have been competitive in now. I just don't know if that's going to be the case, you know. And Hawk is kind of struggling with his three-point shooting and his shooting overall. You know, he's been dealing with a back issue as well, and this team has just been hampered.
Well, we'll talk more again with Mark Spears in about 9 minutes as we kind of get back into the Pelicans and their troubles. And you, the Saints, of course, such a different atmosphere or such a different coverage. So they have coaches now, you know, you can do some interviews virtually. And, you know, back when I was in sports, you would have to, like, hide out under the bushes to try to see if maybe coaches would arrive and try to get a picture at the airport. Now the team puts out, hey, today we interviewed X, today we interviewed Y, you know. And so they interviewed Aaron Glenn from Detroit. They're in a certain weird little window where you can interview the people who are in the bye week, so Kansas City and Detroit. You can interview virtually people who have been eliminated, and after January 19th, you can do that in person. So there's just a lot of nuances.
Even if they're in the bye week, you can interview them, but it has to still be virtual.
Right.
It still has to be virtually. There's only a handful of coaches. I think Mike Vrabel is one that you can interview in person because his contract has expired.
Right.
He's not under contract with any team like some of those other guys. And what's interesting is Coach Mike McCarthy, whose name has been thrown out there a little bit, he is still under contract they're an exclusive negotiating window with the Dallas Cowboys.
And I think they said today they wanted to talk to him, didn't they? They say they wanted to talk to McCarthy?
Well, no, they've been talking, but it hadn't been serious. Let me put it that way. Because Dallas denied Chicago from interviewing Mike McCarthy because they could have technically did it, but Dallas said, nope, we want to hold our exclusive window. That exclusive window ends on the 14th. Not to say if they don't have a deal done by then, they can't continue to talk, but he will be free to talk to other teams, whether it's virtually or in person then as well, which is, you know, for him, I'm going to use it as leverage. And as you know, normally things don't happen until you get into that, hey, we only have, you know, 48 hours or 36 hours.
Right. Somebody's back's got to be to the wall.
Well, they both have a framework anyway. Yeah. You know, the agents, they have a framework. They just hadn't submitted it. They're not just talking to say, hey, Mike, how's the weather out there?
That's right. Oh, you know, I'm not going to talk about the contract. Just wanted to see you know, how things are going.
Yeah, Jerry,
hypothetically, if we were to say.
Are you flying into the camp today? You know, you haven't submitted XYZ. You know, so they're having conversations. But it may not be into the detail that it takes to get a contract done.
So today was Aaron Glenn. Yesterday, Anthony Weaver of Miami. Mike Kafka was Thursday from the New York Giants. So we'll just follow it along and see where things go as we work our way to the Super Bowl LIX right here in New Orleans, February 9th. Come back after a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. This is Fans of the Pro with you until 6 o'clock tonight here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Sorry, I was finishing up my cough drop there. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Our season finale, just the season finale show as we talk about the Saints, the playoffs, the Super Bowl, the Pelicans tonight. And we bring into the conversation Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for Anscape and ESPN. Louisiana Native, New Orleans Native. How you doing, Mark?
Man, can I give y'all some rosary beads, man? Like, golly. Jesus, Lord.
Mark, we need a little bit more than that. I mean, it's...
Man, do we need to go to church right now and go kneel down? Like, what's going on with y'all?
It's tough. I'll tell you one thing. When breaking news comes on your phone and it's from the Pelicans, it is typically... It hasn't been good news. And it isn't today.
You got punched twice today.
You did. I know. Well, we're bruised already, so we're not used to it, but we're bruised already. But I mean, it's, I guess when you kind of live in the bubble like we are, we feel like we're an aberration. Now you cover the whole league. What's happened to this team this year? Is it an aberration? These many injuries? This many kind of knocks at you?
Well, first of all, man, can I please give my prayers and condolences to, you know, everybody out there in New Orleans, greater New Orleans, Louisiana, even the family in England who went through the tragedy, man. My prayers and condolences with them. And so, but to answer your question, this is my 26th year covering the NBA, and I can't say that I've had notice of a team that's had this many injuries. It's just incredible. And not just injuries, but injuries to your key players. Like, Yves Messi, who I have, you know, a feature on today, he's basically the only guy that ain't been touched, right? Like what's going on? It's just stunning. It's sad. It's incredible. I really feel, because we continually say with this team, with Zion, this is like, I mean, will you change the name to the What Ifs? Forget Pelicans, change the name to the What Ifs. Because I will, since the days of DeMarcus Cousins, there is no team that I will say what if more than the New Orleans Pelicans, man. It's just like, is y'all doomed? Is somebody voodoo the squad? Like, I just don't get it. And in terms of Zion's last thing, to me, this is different too. This is like, all right, we've had enough. We're not playing games with you no more. Like, this is the first time he was late. Dude, shoot, how many dudes was late to planes, bro? If he got in trouble because he late to, I've heard stories of NBA stars regularly being late to planes. So if he got suspended a game for being late to a plane, that tells me they're done.
Well, Mark, how are you, sir? Can I change the
I'm
subject?
Sorry, or? I just, I'm sorry. Y'all asked me to come on. Every time y'all come out, ask me to come on, it's Armageddon going on with this franchise.
We didn't know that it was going to drop like that, though. We thought we were going to have some good news.
I'm starting to think it's my fault. Like, when I come on, like, stuff got to happen.
It's definitely not your fault. And, you know, I was just going to say, even Ives, he's had back issue. He's left games in the middle of games, you know, just because of injuries, but he hadn't been like some of the other guys where they've missed, you know, 10 or 15 games consecutively or anything like that. And so it was a double blow. It was a double blow. And, you know, here's the thing. I can't speak specifically because I hadn't been on enough planes with the NBA, but yes, they are very similar into from a structure standpoint, and hey, you got to be here. Yeah. This plane is leaving here. Even myself,
I will say, Deuce, that Saints NFL is different than NBA. Like, not throwing any NBA players out on the street, but it's typical that the NBA superstar is late to the plane on a regular basis. Like, one NBA player told me yesterday, former NBA player, not mentioning names, mentioned two superstars he played with, like, the plane never left on time. So my point is, if they are suspending them for a game for being late to a plane, like, every NBA star does that. Every NBA star is late all the time. How late? I don't know. How late did he come? I don't know. But the fact that they now we're five years in, and starting to discipline this man, like, this is different. This is, to me, like, because the Pelicans have a reputation, respectfully, of a team that, like, just turns us back to anything that Zion does. That's always pampered him. That's always giving him the keys to just do whatever. I'd be stunned, absolutely stunned, if this is the first time that Zion was ever late to a plane. But if you look across the league, this is a normal occurrence for some of the NBA's greatest stars, past and present. So to fine him for this, to me, there's a deeper meaning, and this basically says, and he even put, there's either more to the story or this team is at its wit's end, and maybe we're starting to see the final days of Zion in the Pelicans uniform.
Yeah, I don't know because I hadn't been around it enough to be able to say that we're going to wait on it. But for the NFL, I've been there. Even myself, y'all, was scared.
Yeah, I've got too many guys.
Yeah, well, and you will get left in the NFL. You are going to get fined.
Yeah.
They will fine you for not even being there on time to the airport. Much less, they're not going to wait
unless your
longer.
Name is Drew, though. Hey, what if Drew shows late?
Well, Drew's going to get fined. And Drew is probably – he better be able to show him that I'm here within 2 to 3 minutes. If not, he better be calling the charter service and getting there because they're not going to wait. Trust me, I've been there.
Okay.
They're not going to wait. And so even for the QB, they are not going to wait. I mean, because once you open that door, look out.
Yeah. No, and respectfully, I do think the NBA, sadly, is different in that regard. It's a lot less people, and they're just I mean, look, again, I've been covering the NBA for a long time, and it's commonplace for a star to regularly be late to a plane, like it's expected. So if this is the punishment, this is like the first time. And you guys, look, you guys are there every day. Has Zion ever been punished before?
If it is, it's been internal.
Right. Hadn't been public.
Yeah. Nothing public, right? So to me, like, this is different. This is interesting. This is an exclamation point. I've never known him to be fined. Not something for this. Not something that's commonplace for stars in the league. So to me, you know, this means it's a changing of the guard on how they're, you know, the baby gloves are off now with Zion Williams.
But again, Mark, what's your record? I can accept it if I'm winning. I can't accept it if this is the effort and this is the stuff that we're doing as a team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to your point, and you know, it's when I covered the Nuggets years ago, I know that Melo was late on a regular basis, or that Allen Iverson was late on a regular basis, but these dudes are dropping 40 and they're playing. Like, you know what I mean? So what are you gonna say, right? Like, so what? I mean, Allen wasn't late to the plane. Melo was late to planes. Like, Allen missed shoot around, didn't go to shoot arounds and practices, but they're dropping 40 and they don't miss games. So I think when you're a star who produces and plays 90% of the time, perhaps there's a lot more leeway. And because he's just missed so many games, I just think I don't know. To me, this is a sign like, all right, maybe this will be something that will either shake him up or want him to want out. But it tells me that they're not babying Zion anymore.
Right. Well, and we'll kind of push towards some of the games, but you know, it comes after a Wednesday night game, back to back, where he didn't play.
Yeah.
So they fly out Thursday. He didn't play Wednesday because it was back to back. Again, we'll figure it out. So, Philly tonight, 15-20. Chicago, game 3, 17-20. And sandwiched in the middle is Boston at 27-10. Your thoughts on the Celtics and the year they're having after what they did last year?
I think Celtics are kind of bored with the process right now. I know Cleveland, understandably so, is the king of the NBA at this point. Great win over OKC. Best record in the league. They're rolling. I mean, I still see Boston as the team. Not that Cleveland can't challenge them. Not that Cleveland can't make them sweat. But Boston is just too talented. And I think the biggest challenge for them right now is the coaches trying to be like, hey, like, we need to push to be the number one seed. We want more games in Boston than we don't want to play any games on the road, right? Not any games, but we don't want to lose home court. So I could see them making a big push in the second half. And Cleveland has also been so much so benefited from a very, very healthy season. They had a long list of injuries a season ago, and they've been healthier than any team in the league. They haven't had any adversity from a health standpoint. So I think that's a big reason why their record has jumped up. I mean, even when they play OKC, Chet Holmgren's not playing. So Oklahoma City's not at full strength. So, I mean, I'm really impressed with Cleveland. I'm very impressed with what they've done. But kind of looking at the big picture, and I like Boston still as the best team in the league.
Well, it's been rough, man. You talked about him a little bit, and you know, he won the rookie player of the month in December. What do you see in Yves Mesi, and what do you like?
You know, I got to see him a couple years ago. I met him. I'm actually coincidentally in Napa right now, and he was playing with Prolific Prep in Napa, and I got a chance to talk to him there. And really, really smart guy, and he remembered me. And the great thing about his story is, you know, typically you hear guys say, like, I dreamed about making the NBA. I dreamed about being the next Michael Jordan. When he came to America from Cameroon in 2021, it just sounded fun. I got an opportunity to go to a prep school in Napa. It just sounded fun, so I went. Like, it was just like, yeah, why not? I ain't doing nothing. I'll go out there. And he ended up playing better than expected. And he goes to Prolific Prep in Napa, plays there for a year. And then, you know, after that, things sparked in Baylor quickly than expected. And he had a big game against Duke, which basically put him into the NBA. It was that game that proved that he was an NBA player. And he ended up getting 21st pick by, I think, a brilliant pick by the Pelicans. You got a young guy who has size, athleticism, rim protector, can block shots, and he's still very raw. So, like, I think he'll become a better offensive player. I'm curious to see, like, in 5 years, you know, what kind of offensive player he is. So in a season of despair, season in disappointment, a season where – Man, next time I see Willie Green, man, I want to get a bottle of red wine, which we both enjoy, and give him a hug. You know, he's the bright spot. He's the one thing to be excited and happy about.
Well, as we close out, I kind of sounded like those vehicles passing. I feel like you're close to a winery in Napa right now.
Yeah, no, I'm actually an ambassador for Kendall Jackson Wine. They're a sponsor of the NBA, WNBA, and USA Basketball. And had a little light day and had a couple excursions at Prisoner Wine and Raymond Wine, where they hooked me up with some wine with my Hall of Fame pitcher on it. So it's been a good day. Had a good lunch. It's, you know, light Friday heading back.
Well,
gonna go watch some football when I get back. Maybe Deuce can give me a prediction of what I'm gonna see tonight, you know. But yeah, man, I'm having a better day than the Pelicans.
Deuce, Ohio State, and Texas can
Mark,
push,
continue,
right?
Continue that great day on that pick. I hope we just have a great game, like, you know, goes into late fourth quarter with it being, you know, within 7 or 3. I like Texas in that matchup. It's hard to say that Ohio State hasn't peaked
at
the right
time. Can I ask you something, Deuce, real quick?
Yeah, they playing well, though.
How should LSU Nation feel about – how should we feel about Texas? Should we be rooting for them or rooting against them? I don't know how to feel about Texas right now.
Well,
you know, I guess when we're out, we're supposed to, like, root SEC, but I don't know, man. I ain't ready for them to be national champs in SEC just yet.
I think you're just rooting for a good game. I don't know if that I can say that I'm rooting for Texas. You know, it's I'm rooting for some players that you know on the squad on both sides of the ball. But it's really, yeah. I can't say that I want Texas to win a championship as well.
Can we just get a tie? I want a tie.
They'll keep playing. They'll come back tomorrow.
I don't want either team to win.
I'm with you there.
That's what we felt last week when we were playing Tampa and Atlanta was playing Carolina. A couple of ties. Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN and Scape. Enjoy your time in Napa. Our thoughts and prayers to everybody in California as well. We'll talk to you soon.
And, hey, real quick thought. Herb Jones, amazing guy, one of the best people I've ever covered in the NBA, so Godspeed to him, too, to get better.
Well said, well said. Take a break. Thank you, Mark. Here on WLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. You're listening to Fans and the Pro with Deuce McAllister and Mike Hoss. Welcome back, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, Fans and the Pro. It's the Pelicans tonight in Philadelphia against the 76ers. Pregame at 5:30, tip-off at 6 right here on the Big 870 WLAM. And LSU basketball fans catch the Tigers. Who are they playing? Ole Miss? Tomorrow, pregame at 4:30, tip-off at 5. It's on our sister station, The Bet, 92.9 FM, and, of course, 1350 AM.
Yeah, that should be a pretty interesting game. I think Ole Miss has started. Well, I know they've started 2-0 in conference, and so we talked a little bit earlier about basketball and how tough the men's side. I know the ladies pulled off a close one. I think that was last night. LSU ladies did. But when we talk about the men's side, particularly going on the road, you got to have some players. And so I don't know how because I don't know if school has officially started up in Oxford. I don't know crowd
seems
wise.
Early to me. I feel like it's around the 16th, something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what crowd wise what it'll be like.
And they're fighting weather.
And the weather is the other part of it. I don't know what that will look like. But, that's going to be an interesting game just because, you know, LSU going into that environment, anytime you go on the road in the SEC, you got to be ready to play. And so we'll see. I mean, we'll kind of see.
Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have Jonathan Stinchcomb, of course, former Saints Super Bowl champion offensive tackle. And, of course, the Super Bowl coming and Jari Evans. You know, hopefully on February 6th when they do the NFL honors. I mean, it's all over. It's got to be tough for Jari.
Well, tough for Jari, but the other one, and we have it because we do the weekly show, the Cam Jordan. I don't know if you talked about
the
that.
The Bart Starr.
And that's not just for the New Orleans Saints.
No.
That's all 32 teams.
I think it's the fourth one that they've Ben Watson. I talked to Ben Watson not too long ago. So they're just high character high character individuals.
Yeah, and so that's a tremendous honor for Cam, and you know, hopefully Jari gets that call that we've been waiting on, and I know he's been waiting on, and obviously you're anxious.
Probably won't stop answering the question, right? It's just tough.
Yeah, because every year you kind of
okay, but it's only this is his second year as a finalist.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You're going through it. And it's always tough for an offensive lineman unless you're a left tackle and Ja was a guard. And so it's just like, man, every year it seems like another quarterback pops up and they make it even harder. You know, and so hopefully he can get in this year.
And JT Gray, how about that? Second team all pro for the third time, the 2018 undrafted free agent out of Clarksdale, Mississippi. Keep this block, our Mississippi block.
Yeah, Clarksdale, Mississippi. JT spent a little time in Las Vegas, got to talk to his dad, and obviously I know his mom and everything, and JT has done a ton. He and Elgin Jenkins, he's the offensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers. They both are from Clarksdale, and they've done a lot in that community, at that school, and JT is well-deserving. Got shafted for the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, that's a disaster.
But trust me, he will take that all pro all day. Yep. I mean, because it's your
peers.
There you go. It's your peers, but it's also, you know, it's both conferences. It's not just, hey, you're NFC Pro Bowler. Nah, you're all pro. You know, you're second team, but you're all pro. Yep. And that's both on both sides of it. So congratulations to JT Gray.
We'll talk more about it in the second hour. I wanted to just make sure we got it out there. It's the third time. He was first team All-Pro 2021, second team All-Pro in 2019, and now second team All-Pro here in 2024. Take a break. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, back out to this here on Fans of the Pro, WLAMFM.com, and always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Then it's Pelicans basketball after that. I want to thank the good folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our sports talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pasta, sandwiches, wings, salads, and more. MagazinePizza.com. I guess I'll take a little break since the game day crew won't be, unfortunately, is not working this weekend. It's a great weekend. This is a good weekend of football.
It's a great weekend, and this is one I want you to think about over the break. Carson Beck.
Yes.
Declares for the NFL from Georgia. Has a hurt arm, shoulder. Can't play in the playoff game. Declares. Has some back channel talks because of NIL. Decides he may want to come back. Within a day of declaring that he's coming back, agrees to sign with Miami. What's your thought on it? We'll talk about it when we come back.
Okay. I got homework. Homework in the break. Fans in the Pro, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister tonight. We'll have a lot more coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll have Jonathan Stinchcomb. We'll talk to him about the same situation, the coaching situation, and all that, and more. The news is next.